Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to The Love Code. And as always, it's such a pleasure to have you with me on this journey today. Each week, I have most inspiring conversations with guests that are here to open our minds, open our hearts, to tap into the realm of what is possible. Even though we've never believed it to be possible, we are capable of achieving amazing healings and transformations in our life. And it's just a matter of opening your mind and opening your heart. So the Love Code is here to inspire you and to step into the possibilities that we are here to fulfill. Lots to explore in this realm, and that's why I love this show, because it just inspires me every week. And if you have not had a chance to listen to the other podcast I do on Progressive Radio Network every Thursday at 4 p.m., it's called What Women Must Know, and that's more about health. Love Code is all about the spirit. So today we're talking about recharging your spirit, how to ignite your vitality journey with my very special guest, Swirl Jordan Moore Williams. And a little bit about Swirl. I love that name, by the way, Swirl. Swirl is a lifestyle transformation artist and holistic guide specializing in holistic pain management. Her journey began when spinal issues threatened her quality of life, leading her to discover transformative healing modalities. Now she empowers clients to embody vitality and fulfillment through her deep knowledge and personal experience. Swirl's mission is to guide others on their path to vibrant living, offering practical tools and holistic wisdom for lasting transformation. And who doesn't want lasting transformation? So it's my great pleasure to welcome Swirl Jordan Moore Williams to the show today. So hello, Swirl, and so nice to have you here today on The Love Code.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here with you. I'm so excited to share and dive into this realm.
And before we got on air, Swirl and I were having a little chat, and I always find it amazing how paths cross through life, and there are things that we discovered that we have in common, which are really unusual, really unusual experiences to be sharing, I have to say. It always amazes me. So, Swirl, you have a very profound story and journey that led you to doing the work you're doing now. And I always find it so fascinating how experiences that occur in our life, early in our life, become profound avenues of our soul work. So so you had issues, spinal issues. I don't really know all that happened back then, but I'd love for you to share a bit of the journey that led you to doing the work you're doing now.
Yes, of course. So I 100% agree with you. Life will always put us into circumstances that will kind of shake us up and lead us to our soul's purpose. At least that's what I found through my experience and with many, many people. And so what happened for me was that I actually was suicidal as a teenager, had different levels of pain, emotional, spiritual confusion, and having different suicide attempts that luckily didn't work. I had the doctor afterwards come in once I was conscious and with it and say, you know, anyone else that would have done what you did would be dead. So you must be here for a reason. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. You know, in my teenage mind, I was a little confused by that. Ended up having a second attempt and in a different way. And the doctor, a different doctor, came in and said something very similar. You must be very special. You must have some purpose on this planet because you shouldn't be here at this point. I thought, wow, okay, now I'm getting kind of this echo. And I have learned from that point to start listening to the echoes, because the universe will give you different words of wisdom or guidance that will start to echo. And if you hear it over here, and then all of a sudden you hear that thing in another place, and then you're talking to a friend and they bring up the same topic or say something similar, it's like that's something guiding you, you know, leading us. So I always, that was my first lesson in paying attention to the echoes. From there,
so Squirrel, I have a question for you about that. When you had that attempt, and you came back, did you have an experience as an NDE? Did you actually leave your body and came back and, you know, get some guidance and insight into who you were and this journey that you were on?
I don't have a clear memory like a lot of NDEs where they can kind of walk someone through what happened as far as going out of their body and seeing the light or different things like this. I don't have a memory of that. Mm-hmm. But what I do have is a deep sense of who I am that I was connected to through that process. It was like a clarity, and I've always been a spiritual person. And I think that was where a lot of my issue came in. It was just a struggle for me to be human, to have my soul in the dense reality of the 3D planet Earth. And was really struggling with just being a human and having this existence and not quite knowing who I was or where my place was or even having a sense of purpose. And having this experience made it so clear to me that I did have a purpose. I do have a purpose. And sharing my soul's expression and my soul's wisdom is a huge part of that purpose. That's what we're all here to do. And so what I learned was the more of me that I can be, and by me I mean my soul essence, the more that I can align with my soul's essence and who I truly am to the deepest levels of like cellular, cosmic authenticity, then That radiates not only my vitality and my life force energy, but it becomes almost infectious through my energy field to those around us. And you probably know about, like, you know, coherency, right? The heart, mm-hmm. heart coherency, mind coherency. And so just being around people once someone is in an aligned state, myself as an example, people start to feel that inspiration and start to come into that place of coherency and in tune with their divinity and their source-centered awareness. So that's definitely like kind of my first step is, for me, is always living in alignment, living in to my truest in that self-centered awareness and my beingness. So after these attempts and coming into this place of, okay, well, I've got this purpose, I might want to figure out what that is, I was really inspired to do that, to really delve into myself and learn as much about me that I could and how to share that. And I think it's really normal for teenagers to kind of go through that of like, wait, who am I? What, you know, what do I like? What don't I like? And so it was a really great time to be able to explore the depths of my soul and tune into to my preferences and how I want to be and learn how to love myself in a really deep way by befriending myself. Ultimately, it was like, okay, this is learning that I'm not my persona, I'm not my body, I'm not my pain, I'm not my emotions, I'm not my hormones. I am divine. I am a unified source, you know, connected being. I am one with source, with love. And being able to tune into that became a really important focus. Simultaneously, I was having debilitating back pain, partially from what was going on in my development, as well as from what I did with these suicide attempts. And so I was diagnosed at 16 with multiple things, from degenerative disc disease, the onset of osteoarthritis in my low back and hips, fibromyalgia, two scoliosis curves, kyphosis, hyperlordosis, and was told that if things progressed in the way that they were, that I would be in a wheelchair by the time I was 30.
Wow.
So, yeah, and being in this place, like I said, where I was just deep in a self-exploratory journey and really connecting to as much of the divinity within myself as I could, I was like, wait, hold on. No, I don't believe that that has to be my story, that I have to end up in a wheelchair by the time I'm 30. So now the mission shifted somewhat from just this spiritual aspect and emotional, mental aspect to now my physical, and being able to manage my pain, to resolve levels of trauma and come into deep transformative healing so that the pain could resolve itself, so that I didn't have to just live in it, but I could actually move through it and allow it to liberate. So now, fast forward, I'm older than 30. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I'm not in a wheelchair. I believe that I've actually healed all of those diagnoses through doing all of my work. And the work that I continue to do helps me stay in this form, as well as continue to help other people. So that's what I ended up doing, is everything that I found that worked for me, and I mean like significantly worked for me, not just like, oh, that was cool, that kind of felt good, but like really made a difference, I learned how to do for myself and then how to do for others, whether that was something I could offer others or something I could train others in so that they could do it for themselves or for others.
Well, it's quite a story you have, Cheryl. I have to say that, first of all, as I'm listening to you, I've been struck by the fact that coming to the earth plane is one of the most difficult things a soul can choose. I've been listening to a lot of different NDE stories. So if people don't know what NDEs, it's near-death experiences. So people who've actually died have gone to the other side, who have become returned to spirit, you might say, returned to their true spiritual soul essences, and then were sent back because they hadn't completed their work here in this dimension. And what was always said by those people who report their experiences, which are quite profound and life-changing when they return to spirit, is that coming, the decision to come into a physical body in this third dimension, this world that we live in, this matrix world, is the bravest thing a soul can do. Is the bravest thing a soul can do, because this dimension is filled with perceptions of limitation, of pain, of forgetfulness of this infinite divine being that we are, where we can heal and transform our life into joy and love and real service. So I would imagine you were one of those souls who, for whatever reason, raised her hands and said, I'm coming down. And I remember one person saying, when they were on the other side and meeting these other souls, who said, it's the bravest thing a soul can do is return into this dimension. It's like going to war. It's like, volunteering to go into war. It's such a shock to come into a place, a dimension where hate and anger and fear and limitation predominate, and we've forgotten the unlimited loving spirit, divine love that we are. And those stories are so profound for me. There's such a remembrance of what this spiritual journey is really about. As you were saying, is to learn to heal and then to be a light on the path for others, and to embody that spirit, that, you know, unlimited spiritual self that you are, we all are.
That's right. Yeah, and I mean, I can agree with that, and also we'll take that as a compliment too, as a, you know, and like, thank you. It is a feat of courage to step into human existence, especially from an empowered place and a place of an awareness of our multidimensional reality and the connection that we have to the divine within us. It's so easy to forget and to want to forget and not walk the path or live in the light. It's the whole system, like you said, the matrix, you know, it's set up to keep us, you know, kind of in the darkness and the light hidden away from us, and those truths even masked, certain things just hidden in plain sight, but still hidden nonetheless. So
when you, let me ask you this question. When you came out of that really painful time of your life, when obviously that sense of being lost and disconnected was overwhelming, when you came out of it, when you couldn't kill yourself no matter how many times you tried, that you're not going to get out that easy.
Exactly.
But something must have happened that then drew resources you needed, the people, the experiences, the techniques. Something must have then happened to you where things started to come into your life, as it does for all of us when we are in those depths of despair and feeling so disconnected. We do have a guardian angel there working for us on our behalf, and things start to happen. And so I'm just curious, what was it that you attracted that led you out of that darkness into the light?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have more than one guardian angel. Luckily, we've got a whole team. Most of all of us have
probably
a whole team backing us up and helping us. And, I think there was quite a few things going through, having these diagnoses, learning about like autoimmune disorders by being diagnosed with fibromyalgia really led me into a place of how do I care for like what I'm consuming? Like what if we are what we eat, or like we become what we consume, then I needed to become more aware of what that was. What was happening in my environment? What kind of food was I intaking? What kind of water? And how was my sleep? I had to really learn how to navigate like the basic third dimension things, you know, as like I'm a human and I need to learn how to navigate these basic things. And with the amount of pain that I was in from the spinal issues, as well as having the fibromyalgia and the level of pain that I was in with that, I learned that there was kind of six basic things that I needed to balance and temper in my life and make sure that I was really tending to. So that was, how's my rest? And I had to learn, like, if I did too much and I really overexerted myself, I would have more pain. If I didn't move, you know, if I didn't move enough or I rested too much, then I would actually have more pain, like more stagnation. So I had to really get some regular rest and find ways to creatively rest and learn to listen to my body when it's like, okay, let's take a rest. Let's go, you know, maybe I need to rest by a tree in nature. Maybe I need to get extra sleep tonight, make sure I really get like a solid like three sleep cycles in, whatever that might be. So rest was really important. And then, as I said, with food, I had to look at my nourishment. How was I being nourished? How was I being nourished by what I was eating, what I was intaking, as well as from my environment and the people I was around or the places that I was going? And my level of nourishment in those ways has been, I looked at my hydration. I started learning a lot about water and the different kinds of water, getting into, you know, the messages in water and all of the different aspects of, I mean, of how much water that we are. We're water beings on a water planet, and having clean, structured, mineralized water is so, so important. Just having the vital minerals that we can have through our water made all the difference for the level of pain that I was in. Then I realized tempering rest with movement was really important. So how was I moving my body? How was I moving through life? And I learned multiple modalities of like, okay, how can I move my body? And I found for myself that I like rhythmic movement. I like to dance. I like to do like movement meditation type of things. And I ended up finding an amazing practice, which actually I'm a lineage holder of now, that's called EDU, which is an evolutionary spinal maintenance movement series. That's EDGU. It's not an acronym. It refers to the edge of you, and which is your spine, where the two halves of you meet, the right side and the left side of the brain, the masculine and the feminine sides, like meeting in the edge at the center line. And this movement modality specifically, more than any other modality, helped me because of my spinal issues and the pain that I was in. Simultaneously, it's a really fun series of movements that's told through a story. So it engages the mind and the imagination, as well as has these like diamond mind Taoist teachings that are kind of a undercurrent to the story. So it has a spiritual aspect for me too, which I really enjoyed. And it moves all the cerebral spinal fluid and gets every cell in the body just really invigorated and moving. So throughout the series, the spine gets flexed and moved, and tiny muscles get their strength increased. And it's a really amazing modality. And so movement became something that was I needed to focus on, followed by breath. Breath was something else that I realized is super important. It's the only system that we do naturally and unconsciously, but that we can also bring pure consciousness to. We're going to breathe either way. The body is going to make sure we do it, but we can also think about it. We can control our breath. We can do certain different types of breathing. We can do breathwork sessions. There's so many aspects. And so I've led to finding rebirthing breathwork, actually, and really took my first conscious breath and felt what that was like and felt the way that breath can inspire the body. And I love that how respiration, the core there, the spiri is the Latin core, means spirit. So every time we respire, every time we take a breath, we're re-spiriting our bodies. And I love that because I truly feel that. As we breathe the air around us, we're also breathing the prana and the energy that's around us as well. So that became a key. And then the next one that I found that was really important was sound. And using sound to help my body express. And got into different thing from toning and singing, but I ended up finding a modality called soul voice, which is really amazing. And it's a process of using your voice to be the instrument of your soul and expressing yourself. And so I used that to move through quite a bit of pain as well and liberate, as well as then use that to help people with sound, it also got into like self-talk, like how am I sounding to myself and how do I sound in the world and how is my levels of communication, like all that had to do with sound. So then that became kind of this design of these six things. I love to see it as like a little spiral or even a star. And then in the center became presence. Presence became the last and final key of kind of this, like, the magic of, like, mastering my 3D reality. Because when we're present, that's where all the magic happens. That's where, you know, it's like happiness can only be in this eternal now moment. And the more present that I am, the more I found fulfillment and enjoyment out of life, and I'm not so worried about what has happened in the past or what could happen in the future, and I can kind of get out of some of these emotions that were sitting in my body and causing pain, whether it was anxiety or regret or whatever it might be, from being more in the past or the future. So really being in presence, being in my whole multidimensional awareness of myself, from my body, my soul, my mind, my emotional state, all of those, but in the present moment, now and now and now, was the final key for me.
So how did that final key come about? Was it integrating all the things you just shared and bringing all those pieces together that got you into a centered place inside yourself, or something else that happened?
Yeah, I think that it was a blend of all of them continuously reminding me that I needed to be present, and it really stemmed from the thought that, well, if I'm here and I'm gonna be here, I might as well enjoy it. And the only way that I could actually enjoy myself was to be present.
Mm-hmm.
So it became a practice of like, oh, catching myself. Like, oh, I'm not feeling, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm complaining about this thing that happened, and, you know, kind of a victim mentality. And I would catch myself and like, oh, wait, no, come back. come back right now to right now. And what's actually wrong? You know, and I could scan the moment, scan my body, and find out, oh, actually, I was just in a story. I was just in my head about it, and I'm feeling now this constriction in my shoulders because I was so concerned about what that thing was. Let me take a breath, right? Use my practices, go through that. What do I need to resource myself in this moment so that I can be present? Go through my different things. Okay, well, I need to relax my body. Maybe I need to move my shoulders, relax them, take a deep breath, and come back.
You know, all those tools that you shared that you learned along the way, from breath to dance to just being more present, it's like those are all the skills and tools, as I listen to you, from my experience anyway, that are designed to help us return to that place where we are connected to that truth, as you call it, presence, which is what presence is, connected to your true self. So
yeah,
learning the many modalities that are available to us in this dimension that are designed for the purpose of reuniting us to our true spiritual essence, and being able to take them into this world for yourself, for your own healing, obviously profound transformation to overcome, you know, the challenges you had with your spine and these health conditions, and then to go out and have mastery of them to share them with the world. How beautiful is that, Swirl? What a gift to, you know, bring
it's
this remembrance back this dimension, right? Yeah, such a gift.
That's right, and that's exactly what it is. It's a remembrance. It's all about remembering who we are, remembering ourselves with Source as the we're as one. We are a unified being. We just forget, and we have these stories of separation. And so it is such a gift to do that, yes, for myself, but to help others come into that place of remembrance and really find themselves connected deeply with their highest selves in the present moment and in their forebrain and in whole brain function. And that's really where all of this led me. You know, I've learned so many different modalities and different things to heal myself. And there came this kind of a, let's say, like a climax point for me where I came across a modality that's called Alphabiotics, and it's a brain reset. It's an autonomic nervous system reset. It's actually a hands-on technique that communicates with the brain to that basically it's all safe and it's all good, that it doesn't need to be locked into a stress state. And it allows the body, the brain, and then therefore the body to do an assessment of the present moment, realize that there is no imminent danger, and then be able to come into a whole brain function balanced place of being. And when I found this modality, I knew like right away from my very first alignment. So it's a technique called the alignment process. And when I had my first alignment, I never experienced myself. I never experienced the moment quite so profoundly and so clearly. So I knew instantly, I was like, I have to do this. Like, not just like, do I need to keep doing it, figure out how do I stay in alignment and like do this system and learn more about the system, but how can I share this with others? Because at that point, I was doing body work and breath work and sound healing as my practice and helping other people in that way. So I was like, wow, if I could add this to what I'm already doing, I can only imagine what type of transformations could happen. And so then that kind of became my focus. It was like, okay, how can I learn all about this? So that I can just kind of add it on. And I thought at the time it would be like the icing on my cake. I always like to think about all of my different modalities that I share with people as little slices of a cake. And I thought that this would be like the icing on the cake. And then what I have found over the years of doing this, which now I train people in how to do this work, is that it actually did become the cake, and everything else was more of the decoration on the cake.
And,
quite
a revelation to find those pieces.
It was amazing, and really it's just like you said earlier, that like the universe will show us different things. It's like there's always this guiding light, whether it's like a guardian angel or a helper or, you know, a little road sign per se that's like, hey, try this. Go over here. Talk to this person. And as I mentioned in the beginning, like listening to the echoes. And so I got really good. I got really good at that, of like really paying attention to like, where is there light on the path? Like if I'm ready for taking my next step in my life or whatever that might be, where is it like lit up the most? What is the most inspiring? What is the most exciting for me? And then like follow that light. And that it just led me, by doing that, it led me to the people, to the places, to the practices, to the teachers, to the wisdom that was needed for me to really come into alignment and into this place where I am now. And that's exactly what happened, is I was just listened to an echo, followed the light, and found this modality, and was like, wow, I am listening now. I'm listening even more than I was, because what most people don't understand, most people know, like, okay, I'm stressed, right? There's so much stress in the world, and lots of different kinds. So most people are aware of their level of stress, But what I found was that I had no idea how much stress was actually affecting my body and my ability to heal myself. So when I started getting into stress science and what happens on a very basic level, which is that we only have two brain modes. As where we are as humans in our evolution, we have two basic brain modes, parasympathetic and sympathetic. I like to refer to these as rest and digest, growth and repair as parasympathetic, and then sympathetic is more of our survival protection mode. And so we're designed to have both. We wouldn't have made it as humans if we didn't have both. You know, we need to survive through all of the primitive times and into where we are now. So what has happened with stress, though, is that we used to have something called simple stress. It was very primitive, where we're hunters and gatherers, we're picking berries down by the river, and, you know, all of a sudden there's a crocodile that's coming out of the water, and we have to do something to protect ourselves. So our brain naturally lateralizes away from the threat. And what I mean by lateralizes is it means that more energy goes into one hemisphere of the brain away from the attack, which means that the side of the body that's closer to the attack actually has more power. And then the other side of the brain comes into like a brownout state, which means that there's excessive weakness on the opposite side. But where blood goes to the peripheries and we go into that fight or flight, we have to move it and get out of there. Maybe we want to fight the crocodile. I don't know. But we're designed to do this, to get away, to survive. It becomes the top priority. Everything else, like digesting the berries that we were eating or any other bodily function, goes on the back burner. It's no longer important. Surviving is the most important thing. So we run away from the crocodile. It decides to leave us alone. And that's a very clear ending. The crocodile leaves. That's the all good signal. We're like, okay, the threat's gone. The brain can naturally come out of that survival mode back into its whole brain function, back into growth and repair, start digesting again, and carry on with picking berries or whatever the next step was. Unfortunately, the way that society has progressed and in modern times now, stress is no longer that simple. Now we have all of these circumstances that have very clear beginnings, in fact, many beginnings, like we've got our bills and, environmental toxins, relationship issues, driving even can be quite stressful. And so we have all these things that are happening to us, many, many beginnings, but then there's no clear ending. It's not like once you pay the bill, you don't ever pay the bills again. It's not like the relationship just ends, or like your boss, you know, you have an issue with the boss and you don't get along, but it's like you can't just not have that boss, you know? So there's kind of always this perpetual stressor is happening with no clear ending. We don't know when it's going to stop, and our brains don't know the difference between these types of stressors and that crocodile. So what ends up happening is we get locked into that survival mode, into that stress state, and therefore all of our other functionings are kind of on the back burner. It's not like they're not working, but they're not getting the top priority. Survival's top priority. And when we're locked in this state for more than what we're designed to be, which is usually about 30 minutes at a time, then we start to have some longer lasting effects, more chronic issues start to happen. And we can see this over time from having this excessive tension and excessive weakness in the body, that these issues start to happen. And most of the time it results in some kind of dis-ease where we are no longer at ease in our body. And so what happens with this modality is it's a communication, it's a hands-on technique where the reset button on the brain is pushed. It's a very quick and effective communication. And you just push the reset button on the brain on both sides, and sends that all good signal, the brain assesses the environment, what's going on, and then realizes, wait, there is no crocodile. Comes back into that rest mode, blood comes back into the peripheries, all viscera is invigorated, and the brain is in whole brain function in the forebrain, into like our human level of functioning and no longer down back into the amygdala playing like the predator prey, like I need to survive. And once we're in this state, we're so deeply connected with the present moment. It's like an upgrade into the present moment when that reset button gets pushed. It's like, oh wait, here I am. And the founder of this work says that it's like connecting the spiritual man with the physical man by being able to bring our brains into that state of whole brain function and into our forebrain. It's quite profound, and by learning about all of this, it's like basically every other modality that I do, and whether it's something I practice or something I do for myself, like it just enhances my experience to be in the state of whole brain function all the time.
Wow!
So, like
amazing.
I said, I mean, it's amazing. Yeah.
And is this a one-on-one session? So something that you do with a client?
It is. Mm-hmm. It's a one-on-one session, and it's actually done very quickly. It doesn't take very long to push the reset button on the brain. And it's something that I do, but I also teach and I train people how to do this because it's such important work. And we would love to share it, you know, to have it available. We have different practitioners around the states and a few in a couple other countries, but it's definitely the mission, you know, to bring balance to the world. And so, you know, we're always looking to, you know, for people who feel inspired by the work to try it, and you know, if it's something they want to do, then yes, of course, staying in alignment is amazing, and receiving these alignments is so great. And then, you know, expanding our expanding the profession out and training people so that they can keep their communities and loved ones and relations all in alignment as well.
You know, I hadn't heard of this before, so it's very fascinating to me because whether we know it or not, living in this, we will call it this, you know, 3D, the third dimension, is filled with fear and is designed to generate fear. If you just turn on, I hope people don't do this, but if you should happen to just turn on the news or just scan the news, you know, when you open your computer up in the morning and see what's gone on in the world, whether you feel it consciously or not, you're being programmed with fear and stress. Because everything about the news is based on fear and stress and anxiety, which is designed to keep us in a perpetual state of anxiety and fear and control. And
yeah, exactly.
Those key systems of our body and control our ability to reconnect to the true spiritual place of peace, deep, deep and peace, which most people probably never experience in their entire life.
Exactly.
In this dimension, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
That's why it sounds this, you know, the alignment process sounds quite profound to take you home to your healing potential.
Yeah, exactly. And it's what it does. It does reboot the brain, but it then puts the body in the most favorable circumstances to do what it does best, which is to heal itself. Like the body is infinitely wise. Like it knows what it needs. And when it's in the most favorable circumstances, then it's able to do that. Then it can get the resources to do what it needs to do.
So
So that's where I, you know, I found that I love that modality, and it's such a big part of what I do. And yeah, but like, there's some limitation. Like I said, we're still growing this work. It's been around for maybe 100 years, but it's only been being taught as a profession since the late 70s. And so there's not as many as we would like, you know, yet. Let's put it out there like that. So there's some limitation to something that needs to be received from another person. And so,
who created it, Flo? Who created the alignment process?
It was designed by a man named Virgil Crane, who was a chiropractor, and he was realized what he was doing was had a grant to assess all of the chiropractors like west of the Mississippi or something like that. And this was, I think, in the 40s. And what he realized over a 5-year period of time of doing all of these travels and seeing what all these chiropractors were doing was that they were onto something around the philosophy that the power of the body that made the body is the power that can heal the body. However, what he noticed was that people would get their chiropractic adjustment, and then within 90 steps of being off the table, they'd be out of alignment again. And so he thought there has to be something else. There's something like the body's doing something that it's not fully responding or holding like what we're doing. And so he had a hunch that maybe if we went to the brain, because there's a chain of command where basically the brain is the computer system. It's at the top. The brain is controlling the nerves. The nerves are controlling the fascia. The fascia is controlling the muscles and tissues, and the muscles and tissues move bones. So he thought, well, what if we go to the top? What would happen then? And he actually created like a 13-step movements, you know, different movements that chiropractors did, different types of adjustments. And his son was taught how to do this. And what his son was, was an amazing philosopher, writer, speaker, and was doing the work. And he started doing more of a research on it. And once we had the EKG equipment where we could measure what was happening and the brain waves, then he did all of the moves and found that it was actually the last one, the very last one, that actually created a shift in the brain, where we saw it in, you know, prior to the alignment process, you'd see a lot of brainwave activity, high beta frequencies on one side of the brain. And then the alignment process would happen, and instantly the other side of the brain would turn on. The beta frequencies would lower on both sides and increase in alpha, theta, and even delta waves on both hemispheres. So he was like, okay, that's it. So he kind of threw out the rest of the movements and created this profession, where and stepped out of the medical and stepped out of chiropractic, because at this point too, chiropractor, you know, kind of went into the medical side of things and, you know, started diagnosing and treating and fixing and doing all of that stuff. And he said, no, we don't believe in that. We believe that the body can heal itself. We believe in its innate wisdom. So it just needs to be put in the most favorable circumstances. So we don't want to be in the medical profession. We don't want to be in this, you know, this fix it, or, you know, where we're concerned with symptoms. We're not concerned with the symptoms. We're concerned with what's causing the symptoms. And so that's what he found, was that it was stress, and it was this brain state that was causing this imbalance in the brain and therefore the body. And doing this one technique resolved the stress, brought everything into balance, like immediately, measurably in balance, not just with EKG, but we'd also do kind of like muscle testing techniques where we'll test the the height, the tension and weakness in the body, and we can see before and after the changes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Great. That's profound. So how do you, how do people do this work? How do people find people, or how do people work with you? What are some of the possibilities of getting the benefit of these amazing tools that you have, or, you know, are teaching as well?
Yeah, so for that, you can go to alphabioticsinfo.com. So that's alphabioticsinfo, alphabioticsinfo.com. And we have a directory there that people can look up to see who's close to them that we have. Through that, they can learn more about the practice as well as connect to us at the training academy and inquire about training through that and get to our academy site as well. So that's for that. To work with me directly, then people can check out, go to vitalswirl.com, vitalswirl.com. And that'll get people connected with me. That's going to connect them to actually a free gift that I have for everyone, which is a really fun calendar that I made that helps people take small steps towards fulfillment in their life, because I found that that's what it takes, is small steps many times. Trying to make big leaps and just like jumping, you know, diving deep right away isn't always the best way to get lasting transformation. So that's one of my mantras. Everyone will hear me say it over and over, is small steps many times, one step at a time. The path is a spiral, so just keep going. And there's lots of ways to work with me through that. One I mentioned earlier, which is the edu practice that I said that my husband and I are the lineage holders for. And bringing it up again, because this, with this practice, it actually helps keep the brain and bring the brain into balance on its own. It takes a little bit longer than just pushing the reset button, but this practice is of evolutionary spinal maintenance. The edu practice helps get the brain in balance as well as moving and invigorating the spine. And so it's a practice that can be done, that people can learn how to do on their own and have that for themselves to help regulate their nervous systems, to bring them into balance. As I said before, I love it because it stacks things. We call it a vital stack because it's a spiritual practice, a meditation practice, a mental practice, and a physical practice, like all in one. And when one learns how to do that, they can apply the story to their lives, they can do the movements and start finding amazing benefits for their nervous systems and their spinal health, which increases their overall vitality.
Okay, so I'm going to go through those options. So one website is vitalist.com, right? Vitalist.com is to you. And
they can check out, Vital Swirl.
Vital Swirl. Okay, I'm just
want
to know the best way to get to you. Vital Swirl.
Swirl.com.
Okay.
We'll get directly to me and their free gift. The other one, if they want, if you want to write it out for just my website in general, is Vitalist Project.
Okay.
.com.
Okay, Vitalist Project.com.
That's right. And then the other one that I mentioned for the alphabiotics is alphabioticsinfo.com.
Okay.
And most of them all link back to each other. So.
Okay. So it's vitalswirl.com, vitalistproject.com, and alphabioticinfo.com. So those are some choices. that people have if they want to learn more about what Swirl is offering or some of the tools and techniques that she shared. You know, a lot of these are obviously new to me as well, like the Alpha Biotics, that alignment process. That was something I hadn't heard of before, which sounds quite amazing, quite profound. And, you know, all the other tools, including the breath, which, of course, we've shared experiences mm-hmm. learning the breath and the power of the breath. And,
yeah.
you know, the most powerful message I received from our conversation is, you know, no matter what your perceived limitation is in the physical, that when we tap into the spirit, we tap into the place of unlimited possibilities, there's nothing that can't be healed. There's nothing that can't be healed. And just to add to my NDE fascination, when I listen to these NDE experiences, people who've had chronic health conditions of all sorts, you know, life-threatening health conditions, and when they went over to the other side, had this experience of connecting to the light, and then were told they needed to come back, they didn't finish their contract to this, their soul contract here, all those health challenges, those advanced stages of cancer or spinal issues and damages were all healed. All healed mm-hmm. when they came back. So we can do that here. We don't have to die.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have to. And in some ways, maybe we do, you know, maybe not physically in that way, but that's what transformation is all about. Is it's like a rebirthing process where if we do certain aspects, these aspects that aren't us that we're living in, these aspects of disease, like those do need to die for us to rise from it, to be reborn from it into the new, into the truth of the love of who we are.
Yes, you know, it's so powerful, and that's why I've done some work with Joe Dispenza, and he has
yeah.
testimonials on his site of people who've overcome impossible situations in the physical life. So, you know, the tools are here. We just have to stay committed to doing them on a daily basis and rebuild
okay.
a new perception of reality, right? So,
exactly,
so
and that's what it's all about.
It's such a delight and a pleasure to have this conversation with you. Really inspiring for me, hopefully for everyone listening. So I trust everyone will be curious enough to follow up the work that Swirl is doing. And her website, vitalswirl.com, vitalistproject.com, and alphabioticinfo.com. Check them out. See what's there. Open to the miracles that are waiting for you. Open to the miracles that are waiting for you. And your guardian angels want you to check it out and open to the miracles. So, Swirl, it's been such a delight to have you on the show. Good luck with all the wonderful work you're doing and inspiration and love and healing you're bringing into this dimension. Keep bringing that light in, Swirl. We need you.
I so, will. Thank you so much for having me. This has been such a gift and, such an honor to share. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. And to all of you listening, remember, every week the Love Code is on. And until next week, may your week be filled with love, peace, and harmony. Bye for now.